Introducing two new Subway melts. Try the new chicken cordon bleu melt stacked with juicy chicken, black forest ham, and melted cheese. Or the new $5 footlong chicken marinara melt. Tender chicken covered in marinara sauce and melted cheese. Melted goodness made irresistible. Subway melts. Subway. Eat fresh. The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report, heading into week 15 of the NFL season. This is the part where Cousin Sal starts to get depressed that football's almost over. He's in the Subway Fresh Take hotline right now. Are you starting to get depressed?
Yeah, I am. My Cowboys are, they're falling to a regular December swoon, the annual swoon, and I'm about to get beaten with a Subway sandwich or losing our pick the line contest, and football's going to end. Yeah, you're right.
Last weekend was the first week that I watched all the games, and I felt like unsatisfied afterwards, and I've hit that point that I seem to hit every year now where I just realize that it's just a crapshoot from week to week, and I don't even know why we pick the games.
Yeah.
It's just stupid.
Well, we do it because someone's going to get beat with a Subway. Well, why would we pick the game? Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
No, it's just like, I mean, come on. Really, New Orleans is going to lose to Chris Redman? Like, their undefeated streak almost ends because Chris Redman and some dude I've never heard of are running amok in the second half. I don't know. It's just frustrating.
I know it.
You know, you watch that Giants-Philly game. Or even yesterday. Like, I'm watching the setup for Monday Night Countdown, whatever that show we have is. Everybody's talking about how great Arizona's playing. They've proven they can win on the road. This team's a contender. This team's dangerous. And then they come out and they commit 7 turnovers. So it's like, maybe we've just reached a point with football where we just shouldn't say anything until the playoffs. Because from week to week, it changes so dramatically that it's just stupid.
Yeah. Because
what do you think?
It used to be, I think like in college when we were watching the games, a team would win a big game and then they'd let down the next week. And I'd always have that team the next week. Like, no, what are you talking about? They beat the Redskins and Mark Rippon. They're going to win this week. No, and then they get slaughtered. Like, all right, now that doesn't happen anymore. And I think we saw that with the Cardinals, who like came back.
Yeah.
They beat the Vikings last weekend, a big, big game. And then they played just as poorly as the Vikings did against them.
Yeah.
Niners, so.
So you're saying that was an old-school loss by the Cardinals?
That was an old-school loss. They really
But why didn't that happen to the Eagles then? This is the stuff that drives me crazy. The Eagles should have lost that Giants game, and the Giants should have won and set everybody in New York up for the whole, oh, here comes the Giants. I got everybody all excited. Instead, it went the other direction, and I'm more confused than I was before.
I agree. It doesn't make sense. Maybe DeSean Jackson's just the best athlete in the game, and it's just hard to overcome.
Yeah, is he the number one wide receiver now?
He's very solid. I mean,
is there anybody that does more for his team than he does from the receiver spot? I'm trying to think.
There's Randy Moss. There's Roy Williams. After those two, yeah, I'd say Deshaun's.
Did you, this whole Randy Moss stuff, where do you stand as a neutral party?
Here's the thing. I think these Panthers are stupid for saying anything, right? Like, first of all, Moss should go to them, like, say, look, I'm not gonna try, but don't call me out for it after the game. Like, you won't have to run around, and I won't have to run around. Let that just be our deal, you know?
Yeah, that's good.
Instead, like, they're saying, yeah, Moss didn't try. Like, if you were a cornerback, if you were just gamble on Panthers, wouldn't you be like, he tried his hardest, and I shut him down. That's just how it is.
That's a great point.
I'm that good. Why would you point out that the guy is not trying? It's like going to like a bachelor party and you, who's that girl you hooked up with at the bar at the Hard Rock? She must have been a model. You could say yes. No, she was a prostitute. I paid her. Discount everything did there.
Was this Tiger Woods having this conversation?
Yeah,
or was
I don't
it
know.
Just some
I've,
random
I've,
friend?
I've mixed scandals here. But I don't, right? Why are they?
Yeah.
Why, and they lost by 10 points, and I guess it could have been worse if Moss is trying, right? So why don't they shut their mouths?
It is a little curious, especially if you're on a bad team and you have a contract coming up or something, and you could point. But I guess what their point is that the tape doesn't lie. I mean, he was jogging through pass routes and short arming stuff. And, you know, hey, I've said it all year in the podcast. He's a front runner. And this team clearly is not a Super Bowl team, and I think he's checked out. So
yeah,
what can
but
you
they
do?
Still do have to put their best corner on him, right? Like, I don't think he's gotten to a point where they have to, they could, you know, they could, don't cover him.
Here's the part that I don't get from the Patriots standpoint. You know, Moss now, he has this pattern of he checks out if he's not getting the ball and if the other team just takes him out. So the teams now have decided, and they're very, you know, the Panthers are even dumb enough to come out and say it. Yeah, you just take him out in the first quarter, and then he stops trying, gets frustrated, doesn't get the ball, he doesn't want to run through his routes, he doesn't want to block, so he's basically just, he doesn't want to be a decoy. So why don't the Patriots just throw him like two deep balls in the first quarter? And they'd be like, see, Randy, we're going to you. It doesn't matter you're being double teamed, then that would keep him running.
They should do that. They should do that. Well, if they didn't have a guy who was wide open every single play, they might, they might do that. I mean, Wes Welker runs these three-yard routes, and he's open. It's just always there. Unbelievable what you have in him.
I don't think I'm writing a football column this week, but I definitely would have put this in if I was. I think he's having one of the great seasons that nobody's even mentioned. Because he has 95 catches so far. I'm going to look this up as we're talking. But he's missed 2.5 games. He missed 2 games, and then in the third game he was playing hurt. But I think in the other 9.5 games, he's got like 90 catches.
Yeah.
And, 105 catches. He's got 105 catches.
So what is he?
He's 105 catches.
Wow.
And
3 games left.
And something like, I forget the exact number, but something like 63 of them were for first downs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just think, and plus he's returning punts.
What's your record if he's not in the lineup?
I think he's the MVP of the team. In fact, I don't even think it's a debate. I think he's the unanimous MVP of the team. He's got
below 500. I mean, I don't know if that Edelman does the job if Welker's out the whole year.
He has games of 12, 10, 10, 9, 9, 15, 10, and 10 for catches. But a lot of those were for first downs. But let's get to the real story. So I signed you up for Twitter on Saturday. I was bored. You made me watch the Army-Navy game because you told me that if Navy didn't win, you'd have to sell one of your kids to the black market. And
you emailed me. You like, we have to put the Lakers on everything. We have to put the Lakers on. We have to. They're playing well. We have to parlay them with whatever we do tomorrow. And I said, let me get by this Army-Navy game. I have Navy on the money line.
Yeah.
They were like 16. They're losing by 3 at half.
Yeah.
That's when you said, this is the stuff you should be tweeting or whatever, right?
Well, yeah. And then you didn't respond. And I was sitting there watching the stupid Navy game. And then I decided to just sign you up for Twitter and create your whole account and then put your email address on it. What I didn't realize, though, is that I set the settings so that every time somebody decided to follow you, you'd get emailed about it. So I guess that was a problem.
Well, I had no idea. I was like, "What the hell? What is going on here?" I'm getting Twitter from these names I didn't know, and so now, like within two, because you're massively popular on this stupid thing, I got like 2,200 emails. I get an email notification every time someone new is following me.
Yeah, that's my fault.
So I spent all Saturday night deleting these one by one on my iPhone. 2,153 followers from my iPhone.
I didn't intend for that to happen.
I'm going to strangle him with Tom Brady's baby's umbilical cord when I'm done with this. But so yeah, that was my Saturday night, rather than studying on what we're going to do for Sunday.
I really feel bad. It's funny now, but that wasn't the way I wanted your Twitter experience to start. The good news is that you have 5,478 followers, and you haven't tweeted yet.
Well, why ruin a good thing? I have to tweet. I gotta say, I read yours and I read Damashek's, and they're very funny, the tweets. But I just can't imagine. Like, you have to sit there. Believe me, when you have to delete them one by one, like, you realize these are real people who are waiting on what you're about to say.
No, a lot of them are porn bots.
What?
A lot of them are like those advertising bots they stick in. I'm convinced. I have this whole theory on Twitter. We're going to find out when Jason Whitlock gets to like 20,000. But I think once you pass like 20,000, some sort of automated thing kicks in and they give you like 2,000, 2,500 new subscribers every day to keep you, to basically to play to your ego and make you think, oh, my number, I got to check my number today, and get you to keep tweeting. And it's all some sort of a master plan.
All right.
What do you think of that?
It's not working with me. But you really think I should still do this? I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. We send each other emails and texts all the time. Just pretend you're sending them to me and Damashek.
Yeah.
Like if you have the Navy money line and you're probably the only person in America who is freaking out at halftime of Army 3, Navy nothing. Everyone else is enjoying the military spectacle of the whole thing and what a cool tradition this game is, and you're having a heart attack. I need to know these things. America needs to know these things.
Okay, I'm gonna get it over with. I'll do my first tweet right now.
All right, here it is. It's 10:27 Pacific Coast time. First tweet.
How long do these? All right.
It has to be 140 characters. Yeah. Is this going to be a mean tweet about me? I feel like it is.
What are you talking about?
He's typing. I'm going to say this is definitely a one-of-a-kind moment in podcast history. I'm not sure if it's a good one. Still typing.
All right, read it.
Last week, the sports guy suggests we put a lot of dollars in the Lakers to win the NBA title 2-1. And so we did. Not the C's, the Lakers. Yeah, but why did I do that, though?
Because you're a Lakers fan.
I'm not a Lakers fan.
Well, we're rooting for the Lakers now to win the title.
No, we're not. No, we're not.
I really like this tweeting. Now people, okay, this is good now.
No, we're not.
Why?
Why did I want to do that?
I don't know.
Because the odds were good. Because it covered all my bets in case the Celtics, something horrible happened. At least I was going to profit financially from it.
Let me tell you something. Something horrible did happen. Now you're about to get just as many emails as I did Saturday night.
Yeah, but now at least if the Celtics blow the final somehow financially,
all right,
I'm in good shape.
All right, listen, I don't care how you defend it. I just want people to know, because you're right. People should know this stuff. So now,
yeah, but we didn't actually do it, though.
Oh, okay.
It was a suggestion.
You could tell by his reaction, which is going to be cut out, that we didn't actually do it.
I'm just saying, I like to cover all my options.
Listen, you promoted me as the biggest agitator of all time. I have to. Well, of course that's going to be my first tweet.
Okay, Mr. Diehard fan. Who threw the Chargers into a three-team tease on Sunday?
That's different. They could lose by 1 through 13 and that stuff.
We've discussed this. In my opinion, gambling is different from rooting for a team. The whole point of gambling is your goal is to win money. The Lakers' odds were stupid. They were 2-1, and it made sense to bet those odds before they changed. It doesn't mean I want them to win the title.
All right. Well, let the followers decide what it means.
I'm the same guy who's bet on Oscar De La Hoya, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I know. You didn't grow up in Oscar's home. You're a big Celtics fan.
I want the Celtics to win the title. That's not going to change. The point of gambling is to try to win money.
All right.
Can I read you a couple things from Dave Weinstein's year-end edition before we get to the lines?
It's the greatest. Go ahead.
Our friend Weinstein, who has a blog called The Digital Couch, and his profile says, I'm a Jew, I have a cat named Munchie, and I watch too much television. So right there, you're hooked. Mm. But he did his year-end movie reviews, and he said, in no particular order, here are some of the best things about 2009. But then he numbered them for some reason. His number one movie was Precious, and he said, it's really bleak, it's pretty dark, and it was never meant to be rocky. What does that mean? Precious is never meant to be rocky.
You know when you read that an inner city obese woman gets raped, you think, oh yeah, oh, this is just going to be another Rocky movie. No,
they're ripping off Rocky. Number three was Paul Blart Mall Cop. Okay, not one of the year's best at all, but a far funnier film than it had a right to be. I'm doing the Weinstein accent, which I'm bad at. Kevin James could save almost any material. Is that true? Joe, can Kevin James save almost any material?
You know, I would never see that movie because he's in it.
He laughed out loud often, and he said, not one of the year's best, just a great rental. Gamora. unsentimental, hard, complicated to understand, and ultimately brilliant. Doing away with the kind of mob sentimentality that made The Sopranos the best show ever. What does that mean?
It means we need new friends is what it means. I like, do you have, which one? Oh, The Hangover handy?
I'm getting to that one. I Love You Man was number five. The best Judd Apatow film not directed by Judd Apatow.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. Let's see. Oh, Crank, High Voltage. This film had no right to be funny, fresh, and moving, and yet it was all of these things. Up was number nine, and it starts out, I have the last half hour to go on this.
Yeah. Well, you're reviewing 12 films. You don't have to watch all of them.
How do you do year-end rewards and you haven't seen all of the movies that you're reviewing or even in the actual movie in its entirety? The Hangover, kind of funny, but very overrated.
No, kind of funny, he said?
Kind of funny. No, kind of funny, but very. I think he might have gone back and changed that. I thought
that
was very funny.
He changed that one because that one said very, very funny, but very overrated.
Yeah. How could he go back and change?
I was laughing. I was in stitches, but I have no idea why it received such accolades. He changed that. That's not fair.
Inglourious Basterds, he'd say it's one of Tarantino's best, but then he's only made about six films, and they're all spectacular. Oh, here's a good. All right, the last two. Zombieland. He said, I love zombie movies and was hoping for more pathos in this, but it remained mostly a comedy throughout, and as that, it worked just fine. It was a comedy. And then finally, The Blind Side. Like Hilary Swank before her, Sandra Bullock bravely plays a white woman who feels a capacity to help a needy young black man.
How did Hilary Swank, what's he talking about, Karate Kid 4? When she played,
First of all, we don't know. And second of all, Sandra Bullock bravely played a white woman.
Well, that was pretty courageous.
Jovian, were you aware that Sandra Bullock bravely played a white woman in The Blind Side?
It was a stretch for her, but she pulled it off.
Urged her not to, but...
We're going to have him on the podcast next week, I think, because he... I wouldn't mind having some more of his takes on movies. All right, let's get to the Week 15 line.
All right.
Lines.
Indy at Jacksonville. And let's not even pick it because it's off the board with you know, not knowing if the Colts are going to start their starting team. It's I don't get it, really. What do you think about this?
So that there's no line at all?
There's no line. They haven't decided if he's playing, if Manning's playing a quarter, a half, or the whole game. So
I thought it was like almost like a preseason type thing where you just... You know,
he would play a little bit.
But, I mean, they have lines on preseason games. Why wouldn't they have a line on this? I would have said Colts by three. I don't know.
I said by four. But, yeah, I don't know what they're going to have it. I mean, he owes it at least to the fantasy owners here who drafted him, right? You can't bow out week 15. You have forget about going perfect, you know. You owe it to the fantasy fans. You got to step in there.
You owe it to the fantasy fans, I agree. And also, people keep saying that Jim Caldwell – has made a decision or whatever, people don't know what he's going to do, and he's leaning toward this. And the bottom line is, we don't know if he's alive. It's unclear if he makes decisions. So
yeah,
maybe that'll just never be decided. Like the game's about to start, and Manny and those guys will be on the sidelines ready to run out, and people will just be looking at each other wondering what's going to happen.
Right. It doesn't make sense to me. What are you going to go 15-0 and then just be like, all right, we're at Buffalo, we'll lose that game? Like, come on, go for it all.
I don't know. I feel the same way about that decision as Weinstein did about Public Enemies. A massive one-note disappointment.
I love it. All right, Dallas. Speaking of massive one-night disappointment,
I can't believe
Dallas.
He changed very, very funny, but very overrated. Why would he go back and change that of all the things?
I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him for that because that was a classic.
Anyway. He was embarrassed about that one thing out of all the things in that?
Yeah.
All right, what's the next one?
Dallas at New Orleans.
You know what's enjoyable in a Cowboys swoon is when you do the Cowboys line and you have the resignation in your voice. Dallas at New Orleans.
Well, we just got to get through this.
You're like Eeyore. New Orleans by 6.5.
All right, you get that. It's 7. I thought it would be 5.5, but they should handle them. I'm just happy that, and we watched this game together. I'm just happy that the sold out crowd got to see DeMarcus Ware's temporary paralysis in 3D. That was good of Jerry Jones.
That was the worst moment of the new Jumbotron, definitely.
Terrible. Mm. We're an average team. I think like if we beat the Niners 5 out of 10 times, the Jets 5 out of 10 times. We're just
trouble scoring points against good defenses, it seems like.
Yeah. All right. More depressed. Cleveland and Kansas City.
Actually, one more thing about this. Lombardi, I thought, had a really good post this week about when in a game like that game on Sunday, when you have not a lot of leadership from the quarterback and not a lot of leadership from the coach, the team can seem somewhat aimless in crunch time. And I think you can say the same thing about Houston. But I thought that was interesting. And that's what makes me worry about them in the Saints game, because that crowd's going to be going crazy. They're going to have to score points to compete with the Saints. And where is that leadership going to come from? We don't know.
Well, the other thing is, yeah, and you would think it would come when you're facing your ex-team, Wade Phillips, against the Chargers. Like, you extra step it up, and you don't want this December tag on you. I mean, really, he's going to get fired now because of this. But, I mean, we have Tony Romo in shackles, and he is afraid to go downfield. Like the way, like, the Ravens and who else killed this week? The Titans scored 40 and 50 points. Like, Cowboys could never do that because Romo is absolutely afraid to throw downfield. He's terrified to throw an interception. Roy Williams is terrified of fumbling. He made a catch, and he, like, hunched over. It was ridiculous. Like, one of our friends catching a ball and running for his life. Marion Barber won't stretch it out at the goal line because he's afraid to fumble. This team is afraid. They just don't want to lose, and they always do anyway. So.
Yeah, Ray Williams has, like, the opposite of breakaway speed.
Yeah.
Like he kind of skulks away. It almost reminds me of when my dog takes something off the counter and is trying to sneak away without us noticing. That's how he runs downfield. Not a good sign.
We'll trade for your dog next year. I don't care. Get Roy Williams off the field. All right, Cleveland and Kansas City.
Oh, a beauty. Man, is Cleveland Kansas City by 3?
Yeah, that's what I said, and it's Kansas City by 2. So we both get it.
You know what?
You're up 8-6 in weeks. I don't think we've said that.
Sometimes. Yeah, yeah. We keep thinking that this game is the worst game of the week, or that game's going to be the worst game of the week. We're not going to have a worse game than Cleveland at Kansas City, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. Although we did have Buffalo, Kansas City on one of our 4 screens last week, about 10
for the cover
Pacific time, which is a shocker. But yeah, that's a bad one.
Well, because we thought Cleveland-Oakland in Week 16 was going to be the worst game of the year, but I think this one is.
Yeah, pretty bad. Houston at St. Louis.
So Houston's making the late season against bad teams half-hearted playoff run.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Houston by 6.5.
That's what I said, and we were both way off. It's 10.
Oh!
Well, St. Louis is. You know who St. Louis's quarterback is?
Yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't aware of this until after I picked them in my column.
Keith Null, not an inspiring name.
I don't even know who that is.
Keith Null, and the wideout is Billy Void. Do you have the Null and Void hookup? I don't. What's the like about this, Ramsey?
Was that pre-prepared material?
I don't know. I was looking for a Void. I didn't know what it was.
I liked it.
I'm going to tweet it right there. All right. Arizona at Detroit.
Man, Warner does have the habit of, after an awful game, coming back and being decent the next week. I'm going to say Detroit was awful last week. I'm going to say Arizona by 8.5.
All right. I said 11, and it's 11.5.
Oh. Well,
I get
there
that.
You go.
It's now 3-3. That's a three-team teaser that we won't do. Cardinals don't lose that game. Hmm. Atlanta at the Jets. There's actually no line on this, so we could skip it.
But why? Because of the quarterback thing?
Turner and yeah.
All right, so we were skipping it anyway. But I would have said Jets by 3.
Really? I said 6.
I thought Ryan was playing.
Don't let me fall on this Jet bandwagon, because I know they've won 3 in a row now, and they will tear our hearts out if we bet them. Got to stay away. what's next here? Miami at Tennessee.
That's a good game.
Yeah, this might be big screen for them.
That's a nice one. Well, somebody's going home for the season. I'm going to say Tennessee by 3.5.
You get it. I said 4. It's 3. It's only 3.
That's fair.
All right. You're up 4-3. San Fran at Philly. The Eagles are hot, but isn't Andy Reid so due to blow a game?
Oh, I thought it was going to be Sunday. And then he had a fantastic performance, I thought.
Yeah. Right.
Except for the 500 yards I gave up. But offensively, I thought he even went for the 2-point correctly in the fourth. I was impressed.
I know. Can he really hold out until the playoffs?
So is this Philly at San Fran?
No, Philly's home.
Oh, San Fran at Philly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Philly by 8.
That's what I said, too. It's 7.5, so we both get it.
Teaser.
Chicago at Baltimore.
Baltimore by 11.5.
I think I get this one. Yeah, I said 9.5. It's 10.
Oh!
All right, it's getting good. New England at Buffalo.
I love Baltimore in a three-teamer.
You love Baltimore? Why? Really?
Yeah, the Bears are terrible.
Oh, Baltimore. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, I was looking ahead to New England at Buffalo.
New England at Buffalo.
That's what I'm saying. All right, Baltimore and Arizona, that's two teams on our three-teamer.
I don't trust Arizona.
Arizona's not going to lose 2 in a row.
I don't trust them. They're not to be trusted.
They don't have anything, Detroit.
They're not to be trusted.
All right.
New England at Buffalo.
Yeah.
This has all the makings of just a catastrophe. God, I can see it now. I'm going to say New England by 5.
I could always win this one, and I think you always win the Cowboys one, because we underestimate our team.
Yeah.
It's on purpose. We do it on purpose. But I said 6.5, and it's 7.
I don't agree with that.
You don't think they will? Well, you got to give 7. You got to give 7.
Freezing cold weather. We can't run the ball. Brady's hurt. Moss just mailed in the last game.
I just think if you score 23 points, you're going to win by 7. Buffalo just doesn't have enough firepower in them.
I was so angry.
You almost lost to them the first game of the year. They're not going to take them by surprise.
Division game, usually close. I was so mad during that Panthers game that part of me was almost hoping that they'd lose and that they'd lose this week and that I could just get rid of this team for the season, because they're just bad for my health. I haven't enjoyed really anything about this season, and the team just makes me upset. It just constantly makes me unhappy.
Go to who you have. You have the fifth seed.
Great. So Denver's going to come in round one, and then Brandon Marshall have 27 catches against us.
And Welker up 34 in New Orleans.
Show some heart. The best game we've played this whole season was the first three quarters at Indianapolis, and then the wheels came off, and it's like this team's a mess.
All right.
Anyway.
Sorry you feel that way.
I'm very upset.
The late afternoon, Oakland at Denver.
Ooh. Well, no Gradkowski.
It stinks that they have to put their gazillionaire backup in first round pick.
No, I don't think they're playing him. I thought they were playing the third stringer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I think that's how bad Jamarcus Russell handled the demotion initially. I didn't think he's playing.
He picked up for Gradkowski last week, but I just assumed.
I'm going to say Broncos by 14.5.
So you nailed it. Well, it's 13, but I was way off. I said 9.5.
Mm.
That was dumb. I guess the Raiders just get smoked on the road. That's probably our third team anyway, right?
Yep.
Cincy at San Diego.
I don't know if Cincy's good.
I think they're falling a little bit, right?
Yeah, that was not a good performance in the Metrodome.
I think we have to start thinking of first-round playoff matchups, and if they're a 3 seed, who do we want going into Cincinnati? Like, who would we want?
I'd take Miami. Best? I'd take Tennessee. I'd take anybody except Jacksonville. I think they could beat Jacksonville.
You wouldn't take Jets? See, I get nervous with Miami because they seem to lose every first-round game, but I would take Jets.
True.
I would take Baltimore. If Pittsburgh somehow got it together.
Yeah. You want to play Cincinnati in round one.
Yep.
Imagine if Pittsburgh somehow snuck in there. Oh, my God. After everybody wrote them off on Thursday.
They could do it.
So this is who? It's Cincy.
San Diego's home.
For Cincy.
I think the first of two beatings San Diego hands Cincinnati this year.
Yeah, I'm going to say San Diego by 7.5.
All right, I get this. I said 6. It's 6.5.
Right, what's the score?
This is nice. It's 7-6 me with okay. 4 left. Green Bay at Pittsburgh.
Ooh. Vegas is still according Pittsburgh the proper respect for some reason. I'm going to say Pittsburgh by 3.5.
All right. I said Pitt by 1. It's 1.5. And they shouldn't be favored in this game. They're not as good. They're not as good. The Browns sacked them 65 times last week. How is this going to be close?
I just figured that they'd put the line because people just every week pick Pittsburgh and bet on them.
Green Bay just wins wherever they go.
Yeah. I'm with you. I would take Green Bay in that game.
Tampa Bay at Seattle. I picked this right on the nose. So.
You did?
To stay in it, you're going to have to pretty much do the same.
Seattle by 10.
No. Seattle by 7.
Ah. Oh. All right. You win.
Tampa's not awful on the road if you look at the last 4 games. They're not as bad as you would think. Minnesota, Carolina.
Minnesota by 6.
I said 5.5 at 7, so you win that one.
Thank you.
All right, Giants at Washington, Monday night. This ends the Cowboys season. I'll declare the Cowboys dead 4 times this year, and this will be the first.
Giants by 3.
Yeah, you got it exactly. Wait a minute, let me add these up.
I think we tied.
Wait a minute, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No, I have 9, you have 8 with the ties. I'm telling you, I got it right here. Tampa was my 9th win, including the ones we tied on.
I'm just sad.
All right. So you're up 8-7 after 15 weeks.
So are you going to start tweeting?
What's that?
Are you going to do like 1 tweet a day?
Maybe I will. I like that. That was exhilarating, getting that out about your allegiance to the Lakers all of a sudden.
Well, let's figure this out. What's the point of gambling then?
I have no problem with it. You're the one who's always like, I can't, people can't find out.
I like discussing all options. Like, here, people can't find out. I like to discuss all options. I mean, I bet on Kevin Durant to win the scoring title. Does that mean when he plays the Celtics that I'm not rooting for the Celtics?
No. That's a different thing because the Celtics can win and he could have a big game. The Celtics can't win the title and you win your Lakers bet.
I could go against it, though. It's all about having odds in place.
Not with the amount of money you put on it, pal.
Get out of here. Amount of money. Right, maybe I'm going to have to delete your Twitter account now. Now it seems like you're just going to make stuff up. Are you going to attack Jeff Ross at least?
Yeah, I should. I have to get him on there, right?
I would throw out a couple barbs. He's very worried about you on Twitter.
Oh, he is? What did he say?
He's worried. He had a couple posts about he's concerned.
All right,
he's concerned for America.
I still don't even understand half the stuff. Are we going to give anyone an underdog pick or no? We haven't done that in a few weeks.
Because we're losing. is there an underdog that you like?
No, there really isn't. Maybe the Niners, but I really don't like it. You like the Bills.
Yeah, but I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I don't trust Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's just that game worries me as a Pats fan.
I'll say the 49ers. I'm not going to make Joe Meek go through the process of figuring out how many nuggets we have left. But
all right. Hey, last thing. What did you think of the John Lackey signing?
The what?
John Lackey. For the Red
Sox. I didn't even see. I'm out of baseball mode.
Okay.
The Mets get him?
No, the Red Sox got him. The Phillies got Halliday, it looks like.
What do I care? Yeah, I know. I mean, we couldn't hit Cliff Lee. I mean, we doesn't really matter, I think. But how much older is Halliday than Lee?
I'm going to say they're in the ballpark of each other.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, I think Lee's at least 30.
So you're happy with Lackey?
I'm still sorting my
feelings. You down a lot, right?
Sorting my feelings. Well, we always did well against him at Fenway until this year.
Really?
But I don't know. It's like basically the Yankees' A.J. Burnett signing last year where they overpaid a guy who would be an ace on a lot of teams, but he'll be our third starter. If he's your third starter, you're in good shape. But he's definitely, I don't think, worth $85 million. But on the other hand, now we can trot out Beckett. And then we could trot out John Lester. And then we could trot out John Lackey.
Right.
It's a nice 1-2-3.
That is pretty good for you.
Yeah.
And what do you care about $85 million? You put
I don't.
Lakers to win the title.
Cousin Sal, it's 8-7, the Subway Fresh Take Hotline sub-beating or whatever we're going to end up naming it, heating up.
This is exciting. Watch Jimmy, Zach Braff on Jimmy Kimmel Live, Rachel McAdams, Ty Pennington, Nora Jones, James Cameron. It's a big week. Mary J. Blige. There you go. And you can see all my horrendous picks on JimmyKimmelLive.net.
All right. Talk to you soon.
I'm tweeting, I guess.
Yeah, and you're tweeting.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.
This concludes another installment of the BS Report. And with all the talk about sports, Bill Simmons neglected to mention this important news, which frankly cannot go unstated. Whether tailgating, watching the game with friends, or just really hungry, attack your hunger with Subway Catering. Piled high platters starting at $25, giant subs, cookies, drinks, and more. So find a reason to party, put Subway Catering in charge, and get busy feasting. Subway. Cater fresh.